Continuing the discussion of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Prakriti Rasa Shatadushani, 100 refutations of mundane mellows. Today I'm going to give the third session on one line of this poem of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's. Joro Rasa Gane Kabu Shreya Keho Labena. No one ever attained Shreya, the ultimate benefit, by singing mundane love songs. My translation. In the previous talk, I mentioned Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, one of his many, many compositions, the Rupanuga Bhajan Darpan, which can be translated as a mirror to see the path of devotional service following in the line of Rupa Goswami. Pertinent to this subject of love songs, love poems, real ones, which are connected with Krishna, and mundane ones. I'll read an extract from this Rupa Anuga Bhajan Darpan. Real love songs are in connection with Krishna and are in line with the proper understanding of Krishna that is derived from Rupa Goswami, and maybe from other acharyas also, but especially we in the Gauriya line follow Rupa Goswami. And mundane love songs are those in which the vishay and the ashray, the object of love and the person who loves, are mundane. The feelings, though they may appear to be very similar, are mundane. The underlying motive on the part of both the lover and the loved, of course, in some cases, there's only the loved, but the one person is loved by another, but that isn't reciprocated. The underlying motive, although it may not be very obvious to all participants, but the transcendental science of rasa, which is really psychology, Vedic psychology deals with, in this mundane world, deals with kam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, this swarup vismriti, all these things, lust, greed, anger, pride, envy, illusion, swarup vibrahma can also be called, mistaken understanding of one's actual position, spiritual position. Then ahankar is a well-known word, that the consciousness by which one forms one's identification with oneself as I. And then abhiman, the abhiman can have different meanings, how one perceives oneself, one's whole mindset. So these are the subject matters of Vedic psychology, but as we go higher and higher and higher, and it's rasa. And that's there in the mundane level also, the exchanges, the feeling, the emotions, the sensations. Especially we're interested with bhakti rasa, that which comes about in relation with Krishna and his devotees. So the mundane rasa can also be generated from songs about Krishna, which are either non-bona fide songs, such as we were discussing in the last session, those songs which are composed by people who don't have a proper knowledge of the science of rasa, or even the tattva-gyan, the proper understanding of Krishna, who he is. And it may be that mundane rasa is also produced from bona fide souls, but bona fide recitations of Krishna, just like there are so many speakers on Srimad Bhagavatam. But Sanatana Goswami warns us, Avaishnava mukhud girnam putam harikatamritam shravana naiva karatavya sarpochishta yathapaya. Be careful, he says. He warns not to hear even the bona fide recitations of Shastra, such as Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't hear the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam if it's by a person who's not a proper Vaishnava or an Avaishnava, because doing so will be similar to drinking milk, which is the remnants of milk, which have been, part of which has been drunk by a poisonous snake. It looks like milk, it might seem to taste like milk, but instead of getting the nourishment of milk, one will be poisoned. So in the same way, we have to be very careful about hearing even bona fide Krishna katha, or singing bona fide songs, or even singing the Hare Krishna mantra, or even hearing the Hare Krishna mantra sung by people who are not properly situated in devotional service. So, yeah, I was going to read from Rupanuga Bhajan Darpan. I'll do that now. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Rupanuga tattasha bhujite akankhaja rasagyan ta prayojan chinmoy ananda rosh sharbat tatta jar bosh akhanda param tatta dham. Rupanuga tatta. This means the subject matter of those who follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, someone who is eager to understand what is the essence of the teachings of Rupa Goswami, understanding that my real need is to understand rasa jnana, what is the subject matter of rasa. Chinmoy ananda rosh sharva tatta jarbosh. Now, the spiritual blissful rasa, ananda chinmaya rasa, all philosophical understandings are subservient to this. If we don't get up there, if we don't see through the eyes or see through the mirror of Rupanuga Bhajan Darpan, then what's going to happen? If we won't understand this, the teachings of Rupa Goswami about rasa, it's not just, we won't understand simply by mental effort, but when we're blessed with the realization, the bliss. As much as we are blessed, that much we can be blissed. Akhanda parama tatta dham, which is the indivisible, eternal, not mixed with any, unalloyed, highest treasure of philosophical understanding. I'm just trying to translate it. Really, all these terms, they're not fully translatable. English wasn't meant for rasa jnana. Sanskrit, Bengali, yes. English, no. Jairasha prapanchagata jara kabre prakashita param rasa ashan murti. Ashan murti anitta hoy adarshara chaya hoy jena marichika jalashvurti. Now here Bhaktivinoda Thakur, reflecting what Rupa Goswami says that these rasas, when they enter the material world and are manifest through mundane poetry, what is it? It is the asanmurti. It is the false representation, becomes the false representation of the actual highest rasa of the spiritual world. But that false representation is temporary. It's not the real thing. It's like the shadow of a reflection. Or a mirage of water in the desert. Now I'm going to read from some translations of love songs composed in Bengali or Brajbuli, Maithili. These are the languages of the Vaishnava poets. Of course, as far as transcendental, these are transcendental love songs. And we have transcendental love songs very famously right there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis singing the Gopi Gita and the Venu Gita. More recently, talking in terms of chronology as we understand it, there have been songs in the vernacular languages which bring out in the pure hearts of the devotees who are absorbed in the Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, the spiritual, blissful rasa of Vraja. They have entrance into the psychology, into the feelings of Radha and Krishna. This is no small thing, and definitely not to be imitated, and definitely you don't see. I have seen these cheap Bengali dramas in which they have Radha and Krishna and their love affairs. They're on the surface. At least they have some idea of Radha and Krishna. But really, one has to follow the devotional line from Rupa Goswami to even begin to approach that properly. Anyway, I'm going to read a few extracts from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's compilation of love songs or love poems, Kannada Gita Chintamani, which is love songs about Radha and Krishna and praise of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, different songs he's compiled, including some of his own songs. So in that sense, it's something like Srila Rupa Goswami's Padabali, in which he's collected some poems from mostly lesser-known authors, put in a few poems of himself, a few poems by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, mostly from Shikashtaka. So anyway, I'll read them and then we can have some idea of the love poems, which are actually the real wealth of the followers of Rupa Goswami, who are relishing such things. And afterwards, I want to read from some mundane poems, which sound very similar. Okay, so here's the first song. These are Vaishnav poets. There are several well-known poets. Govinda Das, among the Vaishnav poets who composed so many songs. Well, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was Chandidas, Vidyapati. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished hearing their compositions. He also relished hearing the poems of Krishna Krishna Karnamrita of Bilva Mangal Thakur, and he also relished hearing from Rai Ramananda his own composition, the Jagannath Ballabh Natak. And then in the time after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were several famous Vaishnava poets, Govinda Das, very famous. Well, specifically I'm talking about those who wrote on Rasa. The Basu Ghosh wrote mostly about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who did I say? I said Govinda Das, Uddhav Das, Gyana Das, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur himself. Although he wrote under the pen name Hari Vallabh. Anyway, first of all, I'm going to read a translation of a song by Gyanadas, in which he is seeing, revealing feelings of Radharani for Krishna. Through the realization of Gyanadas is expressed, Radha says, first I heard about him, Krishna, then I saw him. Seeing him, I became enchanted by him. Then I fell in love with him. I could not bear separation from him. Separated from him, I wept and wept. I felt that I was on the verge of death. Oh, Gopi friend, the demigod Brahma created everything else, but he did not create love. That's actually a fact, even from the point of view of Sankhya philosophy. We don't find Sankhya. In Sankhya, we have 24 elements, or 25 if you want to be a theist, but we don't find love. Love must have had a different creator, a creator who would not hear anything about piety or saintliness. So Radha is criticizing love. She says, everyone talks about love. Who says love is good? Love for this dark playboy, Krishna, is like someone who comes, punches you in the ribs, and then runs away. I think this love is like death. I think this love is like a great heavy burden, a great disease. Afflicted by this love, there's nothing else. You only know love. There's only love, 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 love. And it's so bad. Why, when I saw this boy under a kadamba tree, did I have to fall in love with him? Gyanadas says, if this girl renounces her love, of what will she talk? That's all she talks about. Notice that the name of Radha is not given in this song. The name of Krishna is not given in this song. It's understood. And then another song, which is from Krishna's side, as if in reply, but it's written by Govinda Das. It's written by a different poet. Krishna speaking. When I saw the sweetness of her glorious lotus face, I was overcome. The playful snake of her raised eyebrow bit my heart. O gopi friend, you see Radha speaking to a gopi friend, Krishna also. It can be that Radha is speaking or Krishna is speaking, but this song is Krishna speaking. It could be. O gopi friend, please listen. My heart is now plunged in a great ocean of passionate desire, overcome. I have now no power to swim to the shore. I'm thrown in the ocean of desire, but I'm just completely overcome and I can't swim. That means that there's no way I can get out of this ocean of such strong longing. She looked at me with crooked, laughing, sidelong glances. Does she love me? Is she indifferent to me? I am filled with doubts. So Radha says that, why did I fall in love with Krishna when I saw him? But Krishna's thinking, the way she looked at me, just completely overwhelm me. But did she really mean it? Am I imagining? This is not to be imitated, to write about the feelings of Radha and Krishna. This only comes from realization, which is a gift. My heart is tormented with pain, Krishna says. She must know my heart. I see that her heart is filled with kindness. Govinda Das's master, his heart filled with ever new love, certainly attained Radha. And ultimately, all these songs, they do end in Radha and Krishna meeting. Otherwise, the poet's heart would completely break. The whole universe would break. Now, who's qualified to even discuss these things? But we should do also, for the reason that our acharya, specifically Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur here, has told us, they've warned us to differentiate between the real love songs and the not or the mundane love songs. So we should know what the real is and what the real isn't. And also, we should know, as we struggle down here in the world of material desires and illusions and attachments, we should know there's something up there which is so high that we must strive to attain it. We have no power to go there, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to take us there. Qualified or not, who's qualified? So we should know that also. Then a gopi messenger goes back from Krishna to Radha. And this is again a song by another author, Vidyapati. It is, so Vidyapati is also quoted in Kannada Gita Chintamani. So the gopi messenger says, "It is Krishna. O Radha, it is Krishna who places this appeal before you. I have seen him. I've just been with him. He's very wonderful. His face is enchanting. His reddish lips are like a blossoming lotus with a blossoming bandhuka flower. His eyes are like black bees. Bees so intoxicated by drinking honey that they have no power to fly away. You asked about his crooked ways. His kajal-anointed eyes are crooked like Kamadev's bows. Radha's very full breasts and delicate body are like two great Mount Sumerus above a flowering vine," Vidyapati says. The gopi messenger's words did not arouse Radha's desire to enjoy with Krishna. So it's not so easy. It's not that, yes, there was a little tiff and then they made up and they lived happily ever after. Radha's, when she's in this mood of mana, of not wanting to submit to Krishna, she's angry with him. Very difficult to break. Oh, Madhava! Then again, the gopi messenger speaking to Krishna. "O Madhava, what shall I say to you? What can I do? I saw the graceful girl surrounded by her friends. Her form is graceful like a golden statue. Her beauty and virtues and intelligence have no peer in all the worlds. Her body has become very pale, like a waning moon. Day after day, she becomes more thin and emaciated. Now, she is like a slender crescent moon. Her cheek rests on her left hand. Her hair is tossed to and fro. She scratches the ground with her toenails. From her eyes flows a flood of tears." There's so many of these Vaishnava songs. There was a book compiled in 1903 by Jagabandhu Bhadra called Gaura Pada Tarangini, which is a collection of more than 1,500 Vaishnava songs that he had personally collected by going village to village in the Bengal countryside. There's so many Vaishnava poets writing so many poems. It was very strong culture. Unfortunately, it was infiltrated with all kinds of upper siddhantas and upper sampradayas. But very, very strong culture. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, before him Bhaktivinod, well, they were contemporary, of course. They sought to purify that culture, to get it back on track, on the right track. Janmadya Sayataha. In the very everything comes from him, everything rests in him, everything enters into him. So that can be understood, that Krishna's pastimes, they're all about love. He's born for the sake of love, he lives for the sake of love, and ultimately everything has to enter into his love. That's one way of, that's a rasamai way of understanding Janmadya Sayataha. So from these songs we can get some insight into the intense feeling of love between Radha and Krishna, and the intense feelings that the devotees, Uddhav Das, Gyanadas, Govinda Das, Vidyapati, and others experience contemplating the loving feelings between Radha and Krishna. But what about mundane songs? There are so many mundane love songs. So many. Poetry and song. So much of it is about love. And there's so much feeling in them. It seems to be the same thing. It can move us to tears, hearing love songs about mundane lovers, but it's meaningless because it's mundane love, which is not for Krishna. It's temporary. We think I fully love someone, but we're forced apart by time. So love songs, they just trap us in material existence with an illusion of the real love, which seems so strong. So much feeling, but meaningless lyrics, in some cases, completely meaningless. There was one song, it's still popular today, it was when I was a kid, used to come on the radio all the time. A Whiter Shade of Pale, which is sung with great pathos. But the words have no particular meaning. It's absurd. I'm going to read a few songs which are not about Krishna. Actually, they are about Krishna, but they're love songs. They should be about Krishna, but it's misplaced love, full of feeling. Very similar to Radha and Krishna's pastimes, which is why in the last session I quoted from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yah Komara Haram, the mundane lover who is pining for their lover, remembering in their youth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking of Radha and Krishna. So we can think of Radha and Krishna hearing mundane songs, but it's better to hear the songs which are actually about Radha and Krishna, because the mundane songs are composed by mundane people with mundane emotions, with no love for Krishna. But just see how some of them can really, they really reflect the love of Krishna. And that's why we have to be very careful to hear the songs which are actually about Radha and Krishna, because otherwise we'll end up with the jada rasa, the mundane sentiment, which is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is warning us about. It seems very much the same for those who are not deep in understanding rasa tattva, the proper understanding of transcendental rasa as distinguished from mundane rasa. And what is the distinction? The distinction is Atendriya Priti Bancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Dhare Premanam. Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. The desire to satisfy one's own senses, which doesn't necessarily mean grossly, it can be very subtly also. Love is very much on the mental or emotional platform. It doesn't have to be the gross physical act of love, although the two are completely intertwined. But it may be subtly that we're designed to satisfy our own senses, but love for Krishna means simply everything for Krishna. Tadarte kila cheshtitam, Krishnarte akila cheshta, everything for Krishna. So anyway, I'll read some songs. There's an appeal by Anne, I'm not even sure how to pronounce that, Bronte, is it? Bronte, I think, is pronounced. She sings, or it's poetry, actually. I am very weary, though tears no longer flow. My eyes are tired of weeping, my heart is sick of woe, my life is very lonely, my days pass heavily. I'm weary of repining, wilt thou not come to me? Didst thou know my longings for thee from day to day, my hopes so often blighted, thou wouldst not thus delay. It's archaic English. Here's from Hermann Hesse, who's well known for he's practically had a cult following in the 1960s and 1970s. A German author, cult following for his books, there were several of them. Glass Bead Game was very famous. Then I read that one he had, what was it called? Siddhartha. It's the only book I read of his, and I didn't like it at all. It was a completely impersonal conclusion. Anyway, here's a poem which is translated by James Wright from the German with the title Without You. So here we go. My pillow gazes upon me at night, empty as a gravestone. I never thought it would be so bitter to be alone, not to lie down asleep in your hair. I lie alone in a silent house, the hanging lamp darkened, and gently stretch out my hands to gather in yours and softly press my warm mouth toward you and kiss myself, exhausted and weak. Then suddenly I'm awake, and all around me the cold night grows still. The star in the window shines clearly. Where is your blonde hair? Where is your sweet mouth? Now I drink pain in every delight and poison in every wine. I never knew it would be so bitter to be alone, alone without you. Reminds of the residents of Vrindavan after Krishna is gone, that seeing the places of Krishna's pastimes, which previously were places of great pleasure, have become very painful, reminding of that pleasure which is no longer there. This is from Pablo Neruda, who wrote, I believe, in Spanish, many, many sonnets, love poems. He wrote, translated, of course, I don't love you as if you were the salt rose, topaz, or arrow of carnations that propagate fire. I love you as certain dark things are loved, secretly between the shadow and the soul. I love you as the plant that doesn't bloom and carries hidden within itself the light of those flowers, and thanks to your love, darkly in my body lives the dense fragrance that rises from the earth. I love you without knowing how or when or from where. I love you simply without problems or pride. I love you in this way because I don't know any other way of loving but this, in which there is no I or you, so intimate that your hand upon my chest is my hand, so intimate that when I fall asleep, it is your eyes that close. He's really into it. Really into it. But it's Jara Rasa. Seems delightful. It is delightful. But it is the delight of the material energy. Another one from the same author. Don't go far off, not even for a day, because, I don't know how to say it, a day is long and I will be waiting for you like an empty train station when the trains are parked off somewhere else asleep. Don't go even for an hour, because then the little drops of anguish will all run together. The smoke that wanders looking for a home will drift into me to kill my lost heart. Oh, may your silhouette never dissolve in the sand. May your eyelids never flutter into the empty distance. Don't leave me for a second, beloved, because in that moment you'll have gone so far. I'll wander the whole earth asking, will you come back or will you leave me dying? First of all says, don't go even for a day, then don't go for an hour, then don't go for a second. These are the kind of feelings that lovers have. Of course, when they get married, then the wife kicks her, get out of the house and earn some money. Here's a traditional English ballad, one of many versions, which is called Barbara Allen. It's a heart jerker. Was in the merry month of May, when all gay flowers were a-blooming, sweet William on his deathbed lay for the love of Barbara Allen. He sent his servant to the town, to the place where she was dwelling, said, you must come to my master's house if your name be Barbara Allen. So slowly, slowly she gets up, and to his bedside going, she drew the curtains to one side and says, young man, you're dying. I know I'm sick and very low, and sorrow dwells within me, no better, no better. I never will be till I have Barbara Allen. Don't you remember last Saturday night when I was at the tavern? You gave your drinks to the ladies there, but you slighted Barbara Allen. He reached up his pale white hands, intending to touch her. She turned away from his bedside and says, young man, I won't have you. He turned his cheek into the wall and bursted out a-crying, what I do to thee, I do to all, and I do to Barbara Allen. She had not walked and reached the town, she heard the death bells ringing, and as they rolled, they seemed to say, hard-hearted Barbara Allen, oh, mother, go make my bed. Make it both long and narrow. Sweet William died for me today. I'll die for him tomorrow. Sweet William was buried in the old churchyard, and Barbara there anigh him. And out of his grave grew a red, red rose, and out of hers a briar. They grew and grew to the old churchyard, where they couldn't grow no higher, and there they tied in a true love's knot the rose wrapped around the briar. So what's happening here? He loves Barbara Allen, but then at the pub one evening, he slights her. There's some kind of lover's tiff, and then she doesn't want to see him. And he's dying out of love for her. And at the last moment, when he's about to die, he sends his servant to call her. She comes to see him. And he says, I'm dying for love of Luna. She said, yeah, but look at the way you behaved with me in the pub last week. And she refuses to have anything to do with him and leaves him. And then on the way back home, she hears the death bells. The way that bells are rung in the church means someone has died, and understood that the man who loved her has died out of love for her. Then she goes home and says, oh, he died today, so you make a deathbed for me and I'll die tomorrow. So then she was buried next to him, and out of his grave, out of the earth above his grave grew a rose bush, and out of her grave next to it grew a briar, a thorny bush, and they intertwined with each other and grew. Up and up in a love knot. Ah, oh, sentimental. So there's the bitter side of love is also reflected in mundane love poems. Here's from one of William Shakespeare's sonnets. Thy bosom is endeared with all hearts, which I by lacking have supposed dead, and there reigns love, and all love's loving parts, and all those friends which I thought buried. How many a holy and obsequious tear hath dear religious love stolen from mine eye, as interest of the dead which now appear, but things removed that hidden in thee lie. Thou art the grave where buried love doth live, hung with the trophies of my lovers gone, who all their parts of me to thee did give. That dew of many now is thine alone. Their images I loved, I view in thee, and thou, all they, hast all the all of me. It needs someone to unpack it. But the thing, it's all about love. Love, love, love. Beatles song. All you need is love, 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 love. It's talked about, it's sung about. They don't know what it is without Krishna. Here's a few lines from a song which I used to hear again and again and again, sung with great drama on the radio in the 1960s. We used to hear the radio again and again and again sung, I can't live if living is without you. I can't live, I can't give anymore. I can't live if living is without you. I can't live, I can't give anymore. Just saying the same thing over and over. I can't live if living is without you. And sung with great feeling. But you know that the person who's singing it, he's a professional singer in a studio singing the song because he's getting paid for it or they want to make some money out of it. It's not the real thing. So the whole gist of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's poem here is don't get fooled. Don't get fooled by mundane love. Mundane love ties us in the material world. And people in the materialistic people, if you speak badly about mundane love, they become very upset. Because that for them is the highest, but it ties us up in this material world. Real love is for Krishna. There's a saying in English, and it's probably there in most other languages also in other ways. If you haven't loved, you haven't lived. In other words, the mundane love, even if it's very brief, you fall in love and then that euphoria of loving feeling, which you have, and then that's how it happens in the West. You fall in love, then you get married, and then the love goes down a bit. Now, that's how it used to be for generations. Nowadays, I don't know. There's so many strange things going on. So the Western world is really, really, really a big mess in terms of the whole emotional life of people and in everything. what marriage is, what family is. They're really, really, really messed up. But anyway, it used to be that people would fall in love, then they get married, and then for some time there's this euphoria of love which settles down very quickly after marriage, as they have to get on with the practicalities of living together, although the love may take a different form. But the saying is there, if you haven't loved, you haven't lived, this feeling. It's mundane love, and everyone knows it's very brief, but they think it's worth living, even if it's only for a few days. That's the real essence of life. They're missing the love of Radha and Krishna. Romeo and Juliet chasing an impossible dream, which is not fulfilled or fulfillable, so they just die together and they think they'll join together. And I know what they're thinking. They'll join together in the afterlife or whatever. It's a tragedy, famous up to the present day. One thing I remember stuck in my mind, this is going back years, 40 years or something. When we were first in Dhaka in Bangladesh, we rented a house, which is our first ashram in Bangladesh, in Dhaka, this capital city. And our landlord, who spoke English very well, which wasn't common in Bangladesh in those days, one time I was talking to him, and he mentioned Greta Garbo, and a look came on his face of some deep feeling which I'd never seen in him before. Greta Garbo was I believe, Hollywood film actress. She was Swedish, and very beautiful. She's dead now, a long time ago, but the feeling he had for her by seeing her on, I doubt if he saw many films of her, because you wouldn't get many Hollywood films in Bangladesh at that time at all. Bangladesh, when he was growing up, it was British India. But the feeling he had, you could see the feeling of some wistfulness or nostalgia. He had a great feeling. He never knew her. He knew the persona that she acted in various movies. And I didn't say, but I thought, this is absurd. It's absurd. And I was surprised at how this educated man, but he's so stupid. And everyone in the world is stupid like this, pining for some fantasy of love. And I was very thankful to Srila Prabhupada for having saved me from that. I haven't loved in that sense. I don't want to go too much into it. I've had crushes on girls when I was a kid, but I was never in what you might call a steady relationship, never married. I haven't loved, have I lived? But loved, yes. Why would we go on in this Krishna consciousness if there wasn't love? Is it just some routine? What is that? There's no feeling for Krishna. There's a misconception, and this is again verging on the sahajya idea, that unless you've had relationship with a woman in this world, you can't begin to understand Krishna's relationship, the Sringarasa, the Madhurya Rasa of the spiritual world. That idea is completely rejected by our Vaishnava Acharyas. One thing is like gold, spiritual love, and the other is like iron. They have many things in common, but one has quality completely superior to that of the other. Comparable in some ways, but in other ways incomparable. So the love, the spiritual love, love for Krishna, or appreciating Krishna's love for his devotees, topmost of whom is Srimati Radharani. That is enacted on the spiritual platform. It's nothing mundane. The great devotees, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Tyagdva Turnama Shesha Mandala Pati Shrening Sada Tuchavat, Bhutva Dina Ganesha Ko Karunaya Kopina Kanta Shrito, Gopi Bhava Risamritabdi Lahari, Kalola Magno Mahur, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguya Go, Shijiva Gopala Ko. They gave up family life, aristocratic life, and accepted the very ascetic life. They gave up mundane love, but they forever dived and surfaced in the waves of the feelings of the gopis of Vrindavan. So among the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Rupan Sanatan, we don't have a record of it, but it would seem that almost suddenly they were married. Certainly Raghunath Das was married before renouncing and coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiva Goswami was a lifelong brahmachari. Raghunath Bhatta, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was a lifelong brahmachari. Gopal Bhatta, similarly, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was a lifelong brahmachari. But it wasn't that those who were married had a better understanding of gopi bhav, bhakti rasa, madhurya rasa, than those who had never been married. It's got nothing to do. It's almost like a different subject. These are points to be considered very soberly by those who are on the path following Rupa Goswami. Vancha kalpa tarubhya charkripa sindubhya evacha patita anam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nitaya churnakang padhyo nipatya kritvacha karkushatam etad aham bravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charne kurutanu ragaha Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumokaro navayang vichara yamahar hari rasa madira madati matam bhuvi vilotama nartama nirvishama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare